Amen. Well, welcome to Metropolitan Baptist Church tonight. If you could please stand, let's begin our services by singing hymn number 237. If you can stand, let's do so and sing hymn 237. From the first, hallelujah. Let's sing it on the first.
Often in a reverent word we say amen. And when our hearts are joyful, hallelujah rings again. On the grass or temples filled by men, the saint shouts hallelujah and we all join in. From the first hallelujah to the last amen, I'll praise the Lord and then I'll praise Him again. Sharing the love of Jesus with all men. From the first hallelujah to the last amen.
On the second,
we say hallelujah, that means praise the Lord. And amen simply tells us that our hearts are in accord. So if you feel restricted, strike a brand new chord. Let's all agree together now to praise the Lord. From the first hallelujah to the last amen, I'll praise the Lord and then I'll praise Him again.
Don't you be embarrassed now. That's talking to Brother Allen. All right, on the last.
Don't you be embarrassed not to say amen. And don't you ever hesitate to join right in. If you can praise the Savior, don't be embarrassed then. When we sing hallelujah and the angels say amen.
I like that song because it's one of those songs, there's no way you could say amen with that song. It's got to be amen. Amen. And it's good. Aren't you thankful we can be here to praise the Lord tonight? Amen to what He might do and has been doing. We had a great morning. Had a lot of visitors in the service this morning. We thank the Lord for bringing them our way for sure. Pray that God would be pleased just to continue to build Metropolitan Baptist Church, using us as a lampstand, surely, for the gospel, for the truth of the Word of God, right here on top of this hill, until Jesus comes, right? Amen. Well, let's take a couple minutes and shake each other's hand and welcome each other in the Lord.
If you'll start heading back to your seats, let's grab your hymnal one last time. Please remain standing if you're able and turn to hymn number 12. Hymn number 12. Shackled by a heavy burden. touch me. Let's sing it on the first.
Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath the load of guilt and shame. Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the slave. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul.
To be cliche. I don't ever want to be cliche. I want to be real. And when I say this, don't take it as cliche, but praise the Lord that He touched us at that point of salvation. Praise the Lord He continues to do so every single day. He reaches down of us that are so insignificant, and He loves us so much to reach down and intervene every single day. All right? Let's sing it out on the last.
Since I met this blessed Savior,
the sun is shining bright. My heart.
Amen. All right, let's get some exercise in and stand if you're able one last time. Turn to hymn number 24. Hymn number 24. Let's really sing it out from the lofty courts of heaven.
From the lofty courts of heaven came a Lord on earth to earth, knowing when he left his Father that his fate would be the tomb. But the grave it could not hold him. Angels rolled the stone away. Now the mighty robes of Sharon is still blue.
Take it a little faster on the second.
I remember when I met him, how the Spirit took control. He established my going, now he stars in my heart. For a man to come from heaven, knowing then of Calvary, oh, what love beyond all measure.
Y'all that closed your books, thought we were done, I want to break the rules, and let's sing that chorus, no instruments. Let's just sing the chorus out to the Lord for the last, all right, on the chorus.
But the next time he comes, he won't have to die for me. The next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. The next time he comes, we'll begin eternity. And when he comes again, he'll be coming for me.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Now that you mention it, I tell you what, it sure is hard to read this stuff. I'm blessed to sit right here and hear us praise God. Well, those who can sing good up here this way, and everybody else contributing this way. Oh my. Anybody get one of these this morning? That's pretty much what's in it. I just can't see the words today. Guys, why don't you come on up here? Get ready to see the evening's offering. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for a wonderful message this morning. You sought us out. Lord, we're looking for you. Be the offering about to receive. Be the gift and the giver, Lord, and be the preacher as he comes this evening. Hide him behind the cross. Ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. and all my failures. When I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I could never earn His love on my own, yet every time I come before His throne, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed.
Even at my best, I am unworthy. I have nothing precious I can give. A broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it is a priceless gift to Him. The bitter mark of sin will never fade away.
I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand
Amen. It's a blessing to know that you belong to the Lord. Know that you are redeemed. Know we take so much of that for granted. The message this morning trying to just magnify God's great love for us through His Shepherd to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, I don't know if we'll ever, maybe this side of eternity, really understand what's gone into providing that salvation for us. What's gone into us being able to be here tonight. We take so much for granted. You know, we've been studying about the shepherd. You know, you might say, I wonder how long this series of messages is going to go. I don't know. I know we have a ways to go to explore this great shepherd. Come to appreciate Him. We're going to look this evening in John chapter 10. Start there at least. Looking at some more things about His relationship to the sheep. What a relationship. How do we delve into the depths of that relationship as well? What is it that makes Him care so much about us? Indeed, as the song said, we're so unworthy, so undeserving. And yet God in His majesty, God in His sovereignty, God in His infinite wisdom is pleased to work in such an amazing way. do for each one of us. I don't know how many of us are in this room tonight, but as many saved individuals there are in this auditorium, there's how many stories. I was sitting there, you know, sometimes a lament that we have that stream going. And, you know, I like to hear those stories. As the other night, Thursday night, before we went out visiting, as I shared this morning, gave some testimonies of how God saved us. I like to hear how God saves people. And it's different. You know, we talked about that personal relationship. It's personal. It's particular. And how He worked in each and every one of our lives in a different way. That particular way that He used to bring us to Himself. You know, it amazes me. This side of the cross, this side of our salvation. Or let me back up and say it this way. When God was in that process, He was dealing with you about different things in your life. There may be some folks here tonight that got saved the very first time they heard the gospel. I don't know if that happens often, but I'm sure it does happen. The truth just becomes real, and you get saved. But when you're as dense as I am between the ears, it took a couple years of God working in my life and different things going on, different people. The people that were involved in that process. The praying that went on. You know, you look back at the cross. Now that it's after Christ, you know, there was that B.C. before Christ's life, and then the after Christ entered in. We look back from this vantage point, and we can see those things. How He was doing this and that. He brought this into our life. This individual that made an impact, and that dear soul that you found out later was praying for you. And all those things come together, and we're here tonight in this auditorium of a testimony of God's work. And indeed, that's an amazing thing. Stand with me, if you would, and looking at John chapter 10. Again, familiar words to us. I'm praying the Lord might open them up to us this evening, give us a heart to hear from Him. And we'd begin reading right there in verse 1 of John chapter 10. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same, or that one, is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The shepherd of the sheep. "To him, to the shepherd, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Wow. "And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Father, we bow before you, and Lord, I ask you to open our hearts to hear from you tonight. Lord, I pray that our ears will give attention, that our minds will listen, but that our hearts, Lord, would sense that you're speaking to us. Lord, what a precious, beautiful story indeed it is concerning the relationship of your Son, our shepherd, to his sheep. Father, this evening, once again, I just pray that you would open the truth to us. We go from this church house being able to say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, it's been a blessing to my heart already to be here with my brothers and sisters, and of course with you. We love you. Of course, as we saw this morning, we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, may be seated. We look back at this passage, John chapter 10. And I was praying over this passage at some beautiful things here. And I just, before we really get into the crux of the message, I'd like us just to go back and review that. In verse 3, it says, "To him," that is to the shepherd, "the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." We'll look at that a little bit tonight. "The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. We put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him." That little word "for," and you know how I love little words in the scriptures. That little word "for," it just means because. For, or because, or since is the idea of that word. He says, the sheep follow him, the Lord Jesus Christ, their shepherd, because they know his voice. But the next verse contrasts that. It says, "In a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him." Is our word again. For, or because, or since. What's the distinguishing mark? They don't know his voice. They will not follow him, for they know not the voice of strangers. That's precious truth, isn't it? Again, as we were talking earlier, there was that time when you were introduced to the shepherd, capital S, the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord our shepherd. You were introduced to him. Somehow, some way, you heard his voice. Now, I don't mean that you heard, some vision of Jesus talking to you, but you heard his voice. You knew that God was dealing with you. You knew that God was speaking to your heart concerning your need and your situation, that you needed your sins forgiven. And you were introduced to him. And there's something about that, isn't there? Something about that that you'll never forget. There's something that rings there. In John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ there speaks about how you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It talks about how we were once the children of the devil. But now, beloved, as we've been introduced to the Son of God, we're now been made the children of God, and we know his voice. We know when he's speaking to us. But the same is also true, and this is something we need to be very much aware of. We need to be careful of the voice of strangers. Of course, we warn our children about such things, and caution them to stay away from strangers, and of course that's all right, but you and I need to be cautious of strangers, those who would teach strange things, unbiblical things. There should be that working in our spirits that we would recognize this doesn't ring true. this is not the voice of my shepherd. Huh? How can that happen? How, preacher, I want that to be so. Well, you're going to have to walk with the shepherd. You're going to have to give heed to the shepherd's voice and follow him and be attentive to him. And the more we're attentive, the more familiar you are with his voice, the easier it will be to recognize the voice of a stranger. You follow me? Huh? You know what it's like, these crazy cell phones, and someone will call me, and they're on their cell phone, and I'm on my cell phone, especially if I'm in that metal building the other end, and I'm trying to talk, and they're trying to talk, and they're talking to me like, you know, like you should ought to know who you're talking to. You know, that you answer the phone, and they just start talking. They don't say, this is so-and-so or whatever, and you feel like such a dummy because you cannot recognize their voice. And you have to apologize and say, well, you know, of course, it's always a cop-out. Well, brother, I'm on my cell phone. I can't hardly hear. Who am I talking to? But the better you know someone's voice, the easier it is to recognize them, isn't it? Well, that's the one side of it. But the other side of it is the shepherd's knowledge of his sheep. The shepherd's knowledge of the sheep. And as we read here in John chapter 10, we see that the shepherd knows the name of every one of his sheep. Now, when we consider that, we think of that ancient shepherd and as he would deal with the sheep. And you know, a flock could vary, obviously, in size. From, you know, a few sheep to hundreds of sheep. But regardless of the number of sheep the shepherd had, the shepherd could distinguish his sheep. Now, when I look out in a pasture and look at a bunch of sheep, they all look the same to me. They're sheep. I can't see. But that shepherd, he knows. He can distinguish each and every one of his sheep. And he knows them by name. That amazes me. But it amazes me even more that the King of Glory, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the Lord our Shepherd, knows every one of his sheep. Now again, we quote that. It makes good preaching and all that, but let that soak in a little bit. The King of Glory, our God, knows every one of us. He knows every one of us. And as we saw this, he knows every one of us in a very personal way. Again, as we said earlier, a shepherd of another flock would walk up to another shepherd's flock and he won't know one from the other. But that shepherd knows his own sheep. And our shepherd knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. In verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, they belong to him. What was this? We've been redeemed, beloved. Just as those sheep belong to the shepherd, you and I belong to him. Were his possession. I like that. The lady sang this morning, he is mine. Huh? Is that good? I am his, but also he is mine. As I acknowledge my shepherd this evening, he also acknowledges me. The Lord, my shepherd. It's personal. But he takes it personal as well. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They recognize that voice. Oh my, there's so much. The shepherd knew all those particulars. You know, the Solomon, son of a shepherd, he was born to be king, to follow in David, his father's footsteps. But Solomon wrote, and you know, I just want to take it for granted that David talked to his son somewhat about what it was like to be a shepherd. But Solomon says this in Proverbs 27 and verse 23. He gives us this challenge. He says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds." What's he saying? He says, you need to know the condition of your flocks. You need to understand what's going on with each and every one of your sheep. You know, nothing was hidden from the shepherd. The shepherd knew the weaknesses and the strengths of his sheep. And an outsider, as we said, he wouldn't know those things. He wasn't familiar with them. The outsider did not have that relationship with his sheep. But the shepherd did. He knew their strengths, but he also knew their defects. The Lord certainly knows our defects. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailties. And isn't it great, like we saw this morning, in spite of all that, he loves us anyway. He doesn't say, "Oh my, that Jim Turner, what a mess he is. I'm so tired of him and messing up all the time. Man, I'm just going to send him to the market. Maybe I can get something out of him for mutton." No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He gave attention. Shepherd gave attention to the needs of his flock. He wanted to see his sheep blessed. He wanted to see his sheep made well. So he'd see to every ailment or need of the sheep, and he watched after them. You know, he didn't wait until a problem got worse in one of his sheep. If there was a cut or some injury, he'd tend to that thing and do what he could to see it healed and made right. He didn't want some worse situation to take hold. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ knows all about his sheep. He knows all about us. Oh my. He knows all of our defects, body, soul, and even spirit. He knows about our weaknesses and the frailties, and he cares about them all. He's one who makes provision for us and will not, now listen, he will not demand more from you than you're able to do. Paul was aware of his divine shepherd's care for him when he wrote to that church in Philippi in simple words. And they mean a lot to me, and I hope they mean a lot to you. And we quote them, but again, do we allow it to sink down in to the gray matter here? Jesus said simply, or excuse me, Paul wrote those simple words in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, "I could do all things through Christ." Which what? Strengtheneth me. Strengtheneth me. That word strengtheneth means to empower. But it also means to enable. What's the shepherd want to do for his sheep? His desire is to enable them to be the best sheep they can be. He wants to see that their coats will produce the very best wool. We'll talk about that more if the Lord lets us get to it. He wants to do everything to see them become the very best. You know, he knows all about our shortcomings and the things that would hold us back, even our sin. And unfortunately, if you're like me, we think we can get by with some things along the way. Oh, maybe just little things. I know the Lord doesn't want me to do those big things. You know, there's the big sins. But there's those little ones. You know, that's no big deal. Really? I always wanted to know what little sins were. Did you ever figure that out, Brother Wayne, what the little sins are? No, I don't know either. I never could. Again, what's it say in verse 14 of John chapter 10? He says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep. And know my sheep. He knows our attitudes. He knows our desires. He knows our spirit. He even knows our thoughts. Our thoughts. Lord, help me remember that. He doesn't just have an idea about the sheep. You know, I might have some ideas or what I think about sheep or this or that or the other. He knows. There's no question there. He knows them individually. He knows them closely. Be mindful. Remember way back, we looking at the shepherd's instrument, and we talked about that rod and the staff and how he would take that rod, and what he'd do with it? He examined the sheep as they went beneath that rod. He examined us. He knows everything about them. No one knew more than he did. And there's something that goes on. It's amazing. And I don't really understand it. I know it is, we might call it a God thing. I just want to say it's God in his supernatural, divine way. How he takes his word. And he makes things known in our lives. What's Hebrews chapter 4 in those familiar words from verse 12? Where it says the word of God is quick, means it's alive. The word of God, now we wouldn't think of a book that way, would we? Forgive me, you know, I found myself making that expression a couple times this morning. It's from my years living in Georgia. They'll say things like that away. Grammatically a mess, but so be it. The word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Of the joints and marrow. And is a... Now listen. The word of God he's talking about is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What did we say the rod was a picture of? The Word of God. As the shepherd examined the sheep in order that he might know them, he used his rod. How does he examine you and I? Through his Word. His Word has that ability, it has that power to reveal. To reveal in us. Hey, what? Be mindful. Talking earlier about that process, that working of how God was pleased to draw us to himself in that whole work of salvation. How did he do it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God. The rod. Of God. Somehow, some way, God by his Holy Spirit does this supernatural, beautiful thing where he uses this living book to make known to us these things, revealing in these very thoughts and the intents of our heart. But you know, it's the mature shepherd, the mature sheep that yields to the shepherd's working. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. You know, it would be a very unruly sheep that would fight against the shepherd as he would pass the rod over him. It was not only unruly, but a very unwise sheep that didn't want the shepherd to examine him. Right? Because it was through the shepherd's examination that he would be able to see if there was something that sheep needed. And as God is pleased, isn't it good? As God is pleased to apply his word to us, it reveals what we need. And we are extremely unruly and unwise if we fight against that. It's the best thing we can do to what? Just submit to Him. Huh? Just submit to what He might want to reveal in us through His Word. Psalm 139. Tremendous words from David. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. What's David say? Search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Oh, wow. Wow. See if there be any wicked way or some wicked way. And what? After his searching, after his trying, lead me. Lead me in the way everlasting. See, that's a mark of maturity. When we're willing to let the shepherd do what he'd be pleased in searching us, seeing our need, and tending to those needs. Wow. Not only did the shepherd know his sheep, but I like this as well. I think we have time for this. It's the shepherd that washed his sheep. He washed his sheep. Shepherd made his sheep clean. He wanted the sheep to be clean. He periodically took them down to the clean waters and would see to it that their wool was washed of its grime and its grit and do his best to remove all the thistles and thorns and so forth, the briars and all that would gather in there. Now listen to these words from the Song of Solomon, if you think I don't know for what I'm saying. Song of Solomon, chapter 6 and verse 6. Here's the words of the king to his love. Remember this, young fellas. He says, thy teeth are as a flock of sheep. He says, thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing. That's what the shepherd does. The shepherd wants to see to it that his sheep are clean. Now, I don't know how that would go over, guys, as you're trying to sweet-talk your gal, but it meant something to the Oriental shepherd. Probably doesn't translate too well to today. But the shepherd wanted his sheep clean. It's a world between Solomon and us, but the truth still remains. The point is, the shepherd washes his sheep. He wants them clean. And he washed us, of course, initially in his own blood. And that's always fascinated me. I remember teaching and preaching on the blood here before, but it's always fascinated me how blood can clean something. But we're not talking about the stains of fabric or such. We're talking about a detergent for our souls. The cleansing of our souls. In 1 John 1 in verse 7, he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, what? Cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, washes us, makes us clean from all sin. When a person's saved, we understand this. When a person's saved, Christ's blood was the payment for our sin. And in that price of redemption, we see that as the price was paid through Christ, sin is removed. Now think back. In the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement, the sins were covered. That atoning blood was placed. But what about next year on the Day of Atonement? The blood would have to be applied again. And not so with the blood of Jesus. His blood paid the penalty of sin, as Hebrews says, forever. And so sins, they're washed in that sense that they're removed. They're removed. Well, preacher, just how far are they removed? Somebody tell me. As far as the east is from the west. Well, gee, how many miles is that? Just how far is that? Well, let's take off. Let's start heading east or east until we start going west. When's that going to happen? It's never going to happen, is it? We'll just keep going east. Well, let's try it the other way. Well, that won't work either. What's the picture? Isn't the Word of God, isn't it wonderful? Somebody tell me that this is all the fabrication of man. Come on. As far as the east is from the west, the blood's applied, sin removed, washed away, taken as far as the east is from the west, never to come again. We've been washed. Initially, we were washed in the blood of the Lamb. David understood this. Oh my. In Psalm 51, as he was repenting over his sin with Bathsheba, and he cries out to God, he says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What a beautiful word. Wash me. Remove my sin from me, Lord. Cleanse me. Sin defiles, makes him unfit for that relationship with God. But through the blood of Christ, sin's removed. I'm a redeemed child of God. And what? Hey, I've been adopted into the family. Where once I wasn't fit to speak his name. Now he says, call me Father.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Is it good? Oh my. He washes us initially in his blood, but then as well in John chapter 15, as we've read here, he washes us continually. He washes us continually. We read in the Word of God, but let's turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 says very simply, verse 3, he says, now are ye clean. Don't you like that idea? Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Listen, the word which I have spoken unto you. Wow. Paul told the Ephesian church about this in chapter 5, verse 26. He says this, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Speaking of the church, that's you and me. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. What? By the word. By the word. We see we were cleansed initially by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's that continual cleansing that he accomplishes in us through his word. Through his word. That was what the Lord Jesus was talking about. That was what the Lord Jesus was seeking to teach that night. That last night was with his apostles, his disciples, when he took the towel and the basin and went down the line, washing each one of them, each one of their feet. And be mindful, Judas was still in the crowd. What was he teaching? He was teaching, number one, humility. The humility, the humbleness of a servant. What did he tell them? You need to do this for each other. And he wasn't so much trying to teach another ordinance to the church, but trying to teach us that we need to have that same spirit. A humble servitude for each other. But then as well, he was teaching them, as Peter found out, about that need for that daily cleansing. First century Judea was a dusty environment. And the main mode of transportation was your feet. And they didn't have nice nice shoes like you and I do today, although when we'd go to the Middle East, we might rather have those sandals. Even your toes showing, David. I've got a pair of sandals in the closet at home. I've wore them in Samoa, and I wore them in Thailand. I may wear them in Israel next year. I don't know what it'll be like in March. Is it cold in Israel in March? We'll have to find out. But they had those sandals, and their feet would get dirty. And when you arrived at your destination, it was customary to provide water to wash your guests' feet. And here we find nobody else had volunteered, but we find the Lord Jesus Christ volunteering, taking upon himself to do that cleansing, to do the washing of his disciples' feet. And again, giving that lesson, the twofold lesson, one of humility, but also the one of the need for our daily cleansing in the Word of God. Well, Peter, like us, was a little spiritually dense. He didn't get the meaning of it. And in John chapter 13, we'll read some verses out of that passage. It says, "He, Jesus, riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, thou dost wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. He says, if that's the distinction, he said, please, just wash me, wash me. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed, he that's been redeemed, he that's been made clean, needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. What's he saying? He's talking about that regular cleansing, that regular washing of the sheep. You know, our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, keeps us clean through his word. And we need the shepherd to take his word, that clear cleansing basin of the word of God, and cleanse that defilement that we pick up as we walk and tread through this world. I'm thankful. One of my favorite passages of scripture, guess because I need it so much, is 1 John 1:9. It's an important passage. It's an important verse for every one of us to have a clear understanding of. For if we confess our sins, if we're willing to own up to the sinners that we are, if we're willing to agree with God concerning our sins, if we confess our sins, He is faithful, that means trustworthy, and he's just. He's right. Why is God right to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us? Because of Calvary. Because of the blood. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? Cleanse us. From what? All unrighteousness. Aren't you thankful for that? Oh, by the way, when John wrote that, he was writing to a bunch of lost sinners, right? No, he was writing to believers. He was writing to Christians. So we need to be careful that we don't get to thinking we don't sin no more. We need that daily cleansing. We need to, as the old timers used to say, we need to keep those short accounts dealing with things with our God. Oh my. I'm going to skip down. I'm going to deal with just one last thing. The shepherd also enjoyed to present his sheep. Presented his sheep, if you will. The shepherd, he worked long and hard to take care of his sheep. And he liked nothing better than to show them off a little bit. Any good shepherd that's done his job, that's taking to care for his sheep, he likes to show them off. And he's displaying. Now listen, this is gonna rock us. He's displaying his sheep before the world. Now it's kind of a tough verse. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 33, it says this: partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. But also in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, listen to this. He says, for I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it was appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world. Now be mindful. A good shepherd wants to do everything for the betterment of his sheep. He, if you will, takes pride in his sheep. And he wants everyone to take note of his sheep. It's interesting. That word spectacle, that word gazing stock, same word in the manuscripts that our Bible was translated from. God is setting his sheep before the world as a spectacle. The world doesn't like it. More and more, the world likes it less. Why is that? Why is it that the world is more and more wanting Christians to shut up? Want Christians out of the picture? Why is that? Beloved, I believe it's because as the world gets to be a darker and darker in a more wicked and evil place, your life, if you're the person you ought to be, if you're the sheep that God is working in you to be, you confront the world with its sin. They look at you and say, hey, who do you think you are? Have you ever heard something like that? I remember one time in Generous Motors, I was working one day and they were all talking about going out on Friday night. And of course, they said, you want to go with us? And I just smiled and they said, oh, yeah, you wouldn't do anything like that, would you? You don't want to go. They say, you know what they'd say? They said, you don't drink at all. And I said, no. What? You don't drink any liquor at all? I said, no. No. They said, you mean they were repulsed. Beloved, you're a spectacle to the world if you're living for Christ. If you choose to live for Christ, you'll be a gazing stock to the world. Huh? Isn't that the way it should be?
Yes, sir. Amen.
We should be. We should, hey, we are to live lives. Our shepherd wants to present us to the world so the world can what? See the need. That they might be able to look at you and say, hey, there's something different there. Yes, they'll struggle with the fact that you don't go the same way they do. And that day comes, though, when they're hurting and there's struggles and battles in their life. And things are messed up at the house. And brother or sister or mom or dad or child's in the hospital. They're going to go to that one that, hey, that had something of the world to give, or, give a hope to this world. Excuse me, I'll get it spit out. That's when they want you then. Isn't that so? The Lord Jesus Christ, his desire is to present his sheep to this world. The sheep that he's labored for. The sheep that he laid down his life for. The sheep that he shed his blood for. The sheep that he's been using his rod to minister to and to bring along to be the sheep that he's designed them to be. But then the question to close with this evening. You knew there had to be something, right? The question. Just how are we representing our shepherd? Doesn't need a lot of explanation, does it? Am I a good representation of my shepherd? Let's stand together. Father, this evening we are so grateful once again for the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord our shepherd. Oh my, indeed we see once again we have no want in him. Nothing lacks. He's everything we could ever possibly need. And this evening, Father, I'd ask you in his name, the name of our shepherd, Jesus, that you'd challenge us indeed. What a great shepherd we have. He knows us. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful that you know us perfectly and completely and in every way. And we can rejoice in you tonight. That even, oh my, in all our weaknesses and our struggles and battles, you love us. As we saw this morning. And Lord, with that, you've spoken to us. We've heard your voice. And we follow you. And Lord, I'm praying. We've covered so much tonight, but I just ask you in Jesus' name that you take your word and seal it to our heart. Indeed, that the rod of God, as it passes over us, would reveal what we need to see, and we'll deal with that. We'll live. Oh, my Father, I plead with you, help us in the strength of your Spirit to live lives that represent the Lord Jesus Christ in a beautiful and glorious way. And all along, Father, not to brag on what we are, but that we'll be able to turn and point to our shepherd. I'm what I am because of what Jesus has done for me. He redeemed me, cleanses me. He's made me into one of his sheep for his glory and my good. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for these precious folks. Thank you, Father, for the words you've given to us. We'll give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother John, I'd look back, see who's there.
Page 157.
As we sing, might the word of God speak to our hearts.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.
Amen. See, it yielded, right? Yield to the shepherd's work in our lives. then we will be happy and we will be blessed indeed. Amen. Love you. I'm so thankful for Metropolitan Baptist Church. So thankful for the fellowship of the saints. So thankful that we can serve Him together. It's a great shepherd, great God. Amen. Amen. Brother John, you come.
Okay, let's be dismissed with our chorus. 494, if you need the words, Christ for me.
Christ for me, yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I shout and sing. Christ for me, yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me.
You're dismissed.